Tezakia quest. The last 10% of chapter 1. Ow. Searching the pile yields a strange card with a magnetic strip and a strange crystal that looks like it was made from various gemstones. Check under the mattress and pillow for anything of note. Under one of the blankets, Sakani finds a journal. It appears to be very old. He skims ominous through several pages that mostly talk about the author's attempts to get in with one of the female co-workers. Just as he's about to lose interest, Sakani finds something interesting.
Is it possible to walk over the fabric glued to the floor? I.e., can we check the field if there's blah blah blah?
As far as Sakani can tell, there's a very solid floor under the cloth. At least until next time.
Read the notes, Connie.
Those maniacs. I can't believe they thought to try that. Ha ha ha, but damned if they haven't done it. This is a glorious day for us, a glorious day for the entire world. We don't need machines, we don't need giant vehicles, we don't even need weaponry to fight our wars. We've unlocked the very power of the gods themselves. The power is ours. Magicka. Magicka? Sakani has never heard of this word before, and yet reading it sends a shiver down his spine. He can't shake the feeling that the discovery of Magicka could be related to his current status of the facility.
Anything of note about the keycard or crystal despite the strangeness?
The strange card doesn't seem to be an ID card. It is likely used to unlock something. The strange crystal is very smooth and colorful and smooth. There's nothing else noteworthy about it.
Look at poster. Remove poster. See if there's anything behind poster. More blood, perhaps?
It appears to be a pinup poster. Sakani is unsure of the gender or the race of the creature on display. He has never seen this race before in his life. He begins to think that this piece is far older than he originally thought it was. Sakani removes the poster, but there's nothing underneath.
Check wing arm status. Does it still hurt? Is it getting any better, aside from all the bleeding?
What the backpack straps lack in absorption, they make up for, being a fairly nice makeshift brace. They have held the wound closed, allowing it to heal much faster. However, the wing still hurts too much to move very much, Certainly too much to consider flying.
Ominous.
It will take at least a week to heal on its own.
Check doors that require key card access. If they all do, go for the stubborn recovery room first.
What luck! The door gives a satisfying click noise as Sakani inserts the card. Sakani enters the recovery room. The room is bare. On the floor is another piece of strange cloth. This one appears to be bulging upwards. I'm sure LD would make a joke there. As if covered by something. Lying against the wall is some kind of medical robot, as far as Sakani figures. It doesn't seem to be active at the moment.
Kick bulge!
Sakani is tired of all these stupid puzzles. He is tired of being stranded here and is tired of jumping through hoops just to stop his goddamn wing from hurting. But most of all, he is tired of this creepy bullshit. Fuck you, Claws.
Peek under cloth to determine if you need to run away, or just throw up in the sink.
No need. Well, that was kind of disappointing. Sakani feels a bit better, though.
Open the door to the medbot's chest.
Sakani opens the robot up.
Thoughtfully compare a medical robot to the pinup poster. Search medical robot for any type of control or activation mechanisms.
Inside is a button with the word standby printed under it. There is a wire and a battery. Sakani realizes that this robot looks somewhat similar to the creatures on the pinup poster. There is no doubt that this race did exist and in fact had some magnificent technology on their hands.
Thick battery!
Sakani is not quite that stupid. Considering how old the place is, there's no guarantee the battery hasn't leaked its contents.
Push button was abandoned! If pushing that button makes it not come into a murderous rampage, you have to treat the wound. Check those dangerous-looking medical hands of the robot can be removed. If so, remove them before attempting any sort of button-pushing activation just in case.
So Kenny prepares to get the robot safe and turned on. He really hopes he can fix his wings so he can get the hell out of here.
That really hurt you, bitch.
Oh shit.
Develop limp to imply accidental tripping.
So Kenny's cowardice prevents him from putting on a very good show.
Forget about disabling the pointy bits on the medical robot. Push the button anyway and if it'll OMG, don't shoot me. Fill it in and hope it remembers that stuff.
So Kenny can't quite reach the button from here. He attempts to back up into it. She tightens her grip on the deadly weapon and informs him that moving is not a great idea at the moment.
Put itself with abandon.
Done. Ew.
Hold your hands up and surrender and say you're really sorry. Oh god, please don't kill me.
Arminous.
Don't hurt me, like I'm sorry for whatever I did.
So Kenny whimpers, fully consumed by his cowardice. In his panic, he apologizes for whatever he did. She coldly reminds him that he kind of kicked her really hard.
Apologize, but pointing out that because the assailant was hiding, she obviously could not have known they were there.
So Kenny stutters as he said this to her. She considers this for a moment before admitting that he has a pretty good point there. She explains that she was exploring this place, and he heard him open the door and quickly hid under a strange cloth in a panic. She then mutters to herself that had she remembered she had a cloaking device, she probably wouldn't have done this. Oh well.
Compliment your tail. Also adds she has great tits.
She pauses for a moment. She seems to seriously consider firing the deadly weapon right then and there, but she lowers it a bit instead. She seems completely surprised. She asks if he's seriously hitting on someone who's pointing a gun at him.
Mentioning Tim to state the obvious when panicked.
She warns Kenny that she will kill him if he doesn't stop that. Despite trying to sound intimidating, she comes off more as flustered. It's obvious she isn't used to being complimented, certainly not by a Tazakian.
Reminder, kicking will only occur because Sakani is just as tense and strange plus as she is. Explain that you came to be here, including name, to leave out the whole scouting bit because of her warring stuff. Point out injury and unarmed status to argue harmlessness.
Sakani desperately attempts to explain his situation, taking careful note to neglect to mention the scouting mission. He also assures her that the only reason he kicked the cloth is because he's wounded, unarmed, and scared. The current state of his pants adds credibility to his claim.
Ask how she.
She says she's the one asking questions. Given how big of a chicken Sakani apparently is, she is willing to believe his story, except for one thing.
We are barely 10 kilometers from Leon territory. Why are you fighting so close to us? If I don't like your answer, I'll take your life instead.
Sakani shivers in terror. He was flying with the intent to enter the country, scouting his positions. Their positions. What should he tell her?
Clint, you're visiting your poor sick grandmother.
There's absolutely no way she'd believe that. So Kenny gets the feeling that someone really hates him and wants him to die.
Clint being lost because your global positioning device broke. Offer to go and show her.
Seeing how heavily Kenny is shivering, the apparently sexy assailant agrees and insists that he goes first. She probably feels sorry for him at that point. She knows that if he tries anything, his life is forfeit. So Kenny leads her out into the hallway. He ponders the situation, wondering if he would ever get out of here. He just wants to go home. Thunk. The thud. Blackness. Chapter 1, Forgotten Wings. End. End of part 1. Thanks for reading. Replay. Click. Tazakia Quest Flash version. After reading Ruby Quest and other such quests, I got bit by the bug.